Today we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven, as Tim read in Matthew 13. The book of Matthew is the only book, the only gospel that uses the term kingdom of heaven. And the other gospels use the kingdom of God. Basically, they're the same thing, although the kingdom of God could be God's kingdom over all things from eternity. And the kingdom of heaven is within that kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about what is the kingdom of heaven today based on this parable. Some of this comes from Oscar Baker's lessons on the kingdom of heaven, which I've reproduced 14 of them. They're in the back there afterwards. If anybody wants to pick one up and take it, feel free to do so. But the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God can mean the same things because, you know, you could say, well, I sinned against heaven, which means I sinned against God. So God and heaven can be used interchangeably sometimes. So with that being said, I like to ask people simple questions to get them to think, like, how would you define the church? How would you define the new covenant? How would you define the kingdom of heaven? Just simple things like that to get them to think. They hear all these terms, but they don't actually know what they are. So now you guys are all pretty well educated. You could probably explain what the kingdom of heaven is, right? If not, then we'll go through that a little bit today. What is meant by the kingdom of heaven? Last time I did a study here on repentance, I said, I'd like to say to people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is about to resume. So what do we mean by the kingdom of heaven? What is it? Matthew 13 has, the book of Matthew has a lot of parables and about the kingdom of heaven. And the book of Matthew is about the kingdom and the king and the kingdom of heaven. So it's peculiar to Matthew's gospel. And Matthew 13 has 8 parables in it. Traditionally it was 7, but Charles Welch discovered there's another one in there. So there's actually 8 parables in Matthew 13. And 4 of those, as Tim read, the first 4 are outside the house, and the last 4 were inside the house, which means, it could mean, the outside the house are external characteristics of the kingdom of heaven, and the inside the house were more internal characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had to be a pretty smart guy, right? I mean, how many of us could somebody bring up a topic and we could explain it using a parable? I mean, you ever think about that? How that guy had to be pretty sharp to think of a parable like he does and teaches using parables just on the spur of the moment. That blows me away. So let's see if we can get this machinery to work. Let's see. So are we working today? We're not working today? There we go. Okay, so let's go back to Matthew 13 and let's reread a couple meats of it here. And Jesus said in verse 3, chapter 13 of Matthew, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." So the question is going to be throughout this parable, who is the sower? And we're going to answer that question as we go along. Who is the sower in these cases? What is a seed? Well, if you look at and compare Matthew's rendering of this with Mark's and Luke's rendering of the same parable, Matthew's parable said the seed is the kingdom of the word of the kingdom. But Mark's gospel said it's the word. And Luke's gospel said it's the word of God. And so which one of these is true? Or which is the best description? And in verse 5 it says, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, and some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So when I used to go to church in traditional Christianity, how, and maybe you did too, how would you understand what that just said? What are these four different pieces of ground, four kinds of ground? Are they four kinds of people? I mean, that's the way I'd look at it. I'd say, well, there's some people who just didn't get it. You know, they heard the gospel, or they heard the word of God, and just didn't care, turned around and went the other way. And some people heard it and listened to it and started to believe it, but then, you know, they were talked out of it. And some people heard it and believed it until their, you know, maybe their spouse or people started to deride them about it, and they turned away. And then some people accepted the gospel and became saved and went to church and all that sort of thing, right? So I wonder how these people standing on the shore, and Jesus was out in a, probably in a boat, away from the shore, away from the people, socially distanced from everybody. And how do you think those people on the shore understood what he was saying? Well, there must be four kinds of people, right? Four kinds of people. Well, as we've come to understand it, maybe it could mean four periods of time. Four periods of time. Now, I'm sure the people didn't understand that. And I wonder what the disciples actually understood. But, and the disciples came and said unto him in verse 10, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to know them, but to them it is not given. Isn't it amazing that Jesus actually kept information from some people? I mean, would we do that? If we were wanting to preach the good news, would we say, well, this is not for you, this is for you? I thought this is interesting, but for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall, and my mouth won't work this morning, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even as he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing not, see not. I stumble on that too, Tim. They seeing and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then verse 14 and 15 is exactly what they said at the end of Acts, in Acts 20, 28, 25 to 27. So what do we mean by four periods of time? Well, let's start off with, I hope you can see this, okay, but the first period of time would be John, the baptizer. A six-month period, John was ministering before Jesus came. He was baptizing. So how do we know 6 months? Well, it never says 6 months in the Bible anywhere, but we know that John was 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus started about the age of 30 in his ministry. So we know that perhaps, it doesn't matter, just some short period of time before Jesus started his ministry, John was baptizing and leading the way into the kingdom of heaven. And this goes back to Matthew 3, 2. And John the Baptist came saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We know that in Jesus started his ministry in the 15th year of Tiberius, AD 26. That was in Luke 3:1. And Luke 3:16 says Jesus was 30 years of age in AD 26. Now, John was out in the country, so people had to come to him out of the city, out of Jerusalem and all Judea into the country to hear John preach. But he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's by the wayside. Stony places. Some fell on stony places. This was as Jesus in Matthew 4:17. Jesus in Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And it could also be in Matthew 10:7. We have Jesus was telling the 12 to go into the way of the go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 7 he says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And if we go into Luke 10:1-9, in Luke 10:1, it says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where the he himself would come." And down in verse 9, Luke 10:9, he said, "And heal the sick that are there in, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you, is come nigh unto you." That would be the kingdom of heaven. So during this period of time, which took about 3.5 years, we have Jesus, the 12, and 70 others preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The next thing that is mentioned in Matthew 13 is that some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprung up and choked them. So this period would be 35 years of the Acts period, where we have the 12 apostles and Paul and some others who were preaching the kingdom of heaven, and gospels and good news pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. So we have three periods. This goes from Acts 1:1 all the way to Acts 28:27. So we have a half a year, we have 3.5 years, and we have 35 years. So that adds up to about 39 years. So what's going on at this time? We get to the next phase, is the last of the four, but others fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So I wonder how the disciples saw this, because they were still in that 3.5-year period when he was talking about this. They didn't see the 35 years in the future. So I'm wondering how these disciples were understanding what he was talking about here. When is the good ground period of time? Well, if Christ was to return in 85 A.D., go back one, then the good ground would have had to been after the end of the Acts period, maybe 64 A.D. to 85 A.D., when Christ should have returned. So that would have had to been the good ground where all these people were being brought in and all this fruit was being born. And that would be about a 25-year period if you understand Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years in Daniel chapter 9. Or how would traditional Christianity think of this? So we have the good ground. So we after the end of Acts, the good ground would be what? How would normal Christianity out there think of the good ground? Well, the good ground is the kingdom church in the present age, right? How many preachers out there and how many Christians are believing that now is the good ground? Now is when we're bringing all these people into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, look at all these churches in America. Look at all we've done around the world, bringing people into the kingdom of heaven. And then that goes right up to the return of Christ, and then the millennial kingdom sets in. But how would, if you understood dispensational truth and the principle of right division, would this, does this make sense? Well, actually, we're now in a 2,000-year period called the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ, and this called out body of Christ, as we understand, has no part in the kingdom of heaven or the millennial kingdom. So then this good ground has to be still yet in the future. This good ground will still be a 21-year period beginning somewhere after the Epiphany and the body of Christ appears with Christ in glory, then there's going to be 21 years of setting up kingdoms and all this jostling around, and pretty soon the Antichrist shows up, and then we get into the last 7 years, the last week of years, and after the Antichrist sets up in a temple 3.5 years, we have 3.5 years left. And I think that's the period of time when we see the time of Jacob's trouble. Those last 3.5 years are going to be terrible. And the last year of those 3.5 years is going to be the worst. And you're going to see Jacob's trouble during that time. You're going to see the witnessing of the 144,000 of Israel. You're going to see the two witnesses at that time. And ending with the return of Christ. And then after that, there's actually a little period of about 75 days before the millennial kingdom is set up. So we know from this that the kingdom of heaven is not the millennial kingdom, because the end of the age, the end of this period of time, as Daniel and these others say, is before the return of Christ. So the end of the kingdom of heaven ends when Christ returns. So we have half year, 3.5 years, 35 years, that's 39 plus 21 is 60 years. So there's about 60 years of time for this kingdom of heaven to take place. So the kingdom of heaven is a period of time. It's a period of time of preparation for Israel to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. It is a time for repentance unto good works. It's a time of performing good works to get a reward. These don't pertain to the body of Christ. So, if we break this down as we have, we see that the kingdom of heaven is interrupted by the Lo Ami period of King of Israel, and it's before the millennial kingdom, so it lasts about 60 years. This is a diagram of the last 7 years, the last week of years, the last 7 years, where even in that last year is where a lot of this good ground is going to be taking place before the coming of Christ. In these extra 75 days, in the little orange over there, there's a lot of things taking place. We have the wheat and the tares are being separated. We're having the good and the bad that were taken up in the net are being separated after the return of Christ. And I believe even in the Matthew 24 with the wedding guests and the wedding feast, I believe even the wedding guests are going to be called during that last time, because he says to go out and get both good and bad. Same as the good and bad in the net in Matthew 13. And the guy without the wedding garment represents the bad. He's the one cast out. Or there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this weeping and gnashing of teeth is just people who are distraught because they were not able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I wonder how the disciples saw this. Because Jesus asked them at the very end here in let me read verse 18 and on. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside with John the Baptist. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, And that was actually Jesus and the 12 and the 70. Jesus was called the rock. Peter was a stone. So that could be stony places, I guess. I don't know. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, by and by he offended. He also that received seed among the thorns, which is the axe period, is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, what it amazes me, Jesus, all the way down in verse number 51, after Jesus also gives them all, actually seven so far, seven parables, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the woman who took three measures and hid them in a meal, and then there's a kingdom of the wheats and the tares, of the parable of the wheats and the tares, and a man who hath a treasure, and a man who seeketh goodly pearls, and a net that's cast into the sea and gathered every kind, both good and bad. So these are the parables of Matthew 13. But here's what he says down at 51. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, yes, yeah, Lord, we understand. I wonder what they understood. Because they certainly didn't see all this. So, when you compare Matthew, says the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is what they will understand. Mark says they understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. And Luke says they understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, but here's the beautiful part of it. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And Mark says in his gospel, take heed to what ye hear. And Luke says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. So I hope this little lesson gives you an understanding of what maybe the kingdom of heaven is. Because we always hear about the kingdom gospel and the kingdom of heaven and all these people talking about it, but could you actually answer somebody who asks you, well, what is the kingdom of heaven? And this is peculiar to Matthew's gospel, but Mark and Luke also repeat this parable of the sower in their gospels as well. I do have in the back there, there are some printouts of this one slide that shows all the explanation of the kingdom of heaven. If you'd like to take one, you're welcome. And there's also a 14-page printout of Oscar Baker's lessons on the kingdom of heaven, which is very good. For those of you who'd like to get a little extra information on that, there's probably just five copies back there, but if we need more, we can make more copies. Any questions so far? Any comments?
Did I hear you say that these 144,000 are there during the 21, the last 3 weeks? Or are those 144,000 those that love their life not unto death and are in the first resurrection?
Well, there's three occasions in the Revelation where Jesus returns, and one of them says he returns with 144,000, those whose heads were sealed, foreheads were sealed. And 144,000, I believe, are going to be sealed in that last 3.5 years sometime.
Are they sealed by their death? Because if he, in the parousia, shows up with them, they have to be in that first resurrection.
They're sealed on their foreheads.
But sealed by death.
Could be.
Could be.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying... It's not very clear in the scriptures.
That's why we call this the Bible Forum.
Right. To discuss those things. Yeah.
You know, let's
yeah.
talk about it.
Yeah.
So that was my one question.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything to add to that? Anybody else have any other questions about the kingdom of heaven? Peter, I don't have an answer to your question exactly.
Okay. I don't have an answer lots of times.
And this just really, when you study these things out, the nice thing about laying out a timeline, for me being an engineer, to lay out a timeline helps me visualize some of these things. And you could produce a timeline like this, and you can also fit these other parables in the same timeline, which really helped me understand how these fit in to the overall plan. Because some of these are going to happen right after Christ comes. There's going to be some separation done. There's going to be a lot of separation done.
I don't remember if it was Stuart Allen or Welch or who it was, but one of those scholars said, oh, if my students would just make a chart. So that's, you're on the right track.
I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
I like charts. I got to visualize things. And I hope it helps you visualize things, because just standing up here talking is one thing, but when you can see things, you comprehend them 60% more than when you just hear them. And so this is why I like to use my little projector, that if I can figure out how to work it. Revelation 7:3 says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel. So there were 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. And there's some folks out here running around your neighborhood thinking they're part of those 144,000. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? And
so it's obvious the good ground is the nation.
The good ground, yes. So this good ground is somewhere in the future. It's not, there's nothing going on right now as pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. And there hasn't been since the end of Acts. And yet when I went to church for 50 years, they were trying to fit me into that somehow. And Peter and I have talked about these wedding guests. We'll think, well, these people out here being saved, are they going to be the guests for the wedding feast? I don't know if I believe that now. Because when you look at the good and the bad and the good and the bad and the wheats and the tares, that's all done in that last period of time. There's nothing about this period of time in Matthew's gospel. There's nothing about this period of time anywhere until after the Acts period. So I still have a question. These people are being saved. They're given eternal life through belief in Jesus Christ, but they're probably not going to be guests at the weddings. They might end up on a new earth in paradise. They'll have a nice place. But there are those who are called out of that into a higher calling, the body of Christ, which we have been so privileged to hear about. So I'm beginning to wonder if these people are the guests of the wedding or not, because of what I compared here. And I just learned that this week.
Well, I think there's a second resurrection.
A second resurrection. We're the second resurrection.
No, we're the out.
We're the out resurrection, okay. Jesus was the first resurrection. We will be the out resurrection, out from among the dead, right? And then after that, you believe that there'll be... I think there'll be a resurrection when Christ returns.
Right.
And there'll be a resurrection after the millennial kingdom.
Right.
The rest of the dead. The ones resurrected before will be separated. Those who enter the kingdom and those who won't. And then afterwards there'll be others resurrected, but they will all be in Christ. People who don't die, that don't believe in Christ or not in Christ, are never resurrected. Now, people don't like to hear that, but they're said to perish, and to perish means they just waste away. The only people who will ever have an everlasting life will be believers in Jesus Christ. So, the concept of hell makes Jesus a liar, because for people to be eternally tormented in hell means they have to have eternal life. And they can't have eternal life. Now, even Psalms, and there's two places in here that says Jesus died and went to hell. That means the grave. Jesus went to the grave. So we all go to hell because we all go to the grave. Unless the Lord appears before we die. But we all go to the grave. And the only ones who have eternal life beyond that grave are those who believe in Jesus Christ. And there's three places at least they could end up. But if you're condemned and not a believer, then you never go anywhere. You're in the grave. You stay in the grave until that grave is thrown into the burning lake of fire. because death and the grave are thrown in the burning lake of fire after the millennial kingdom. And then the whole earth is going to be burned up after that. Okay. Appreciate your attention. Thank you, Lord, for your lesson today. We hope you go have a great week and stay away from the COVID. And we pray for all those who are going through it. It's rough on some people and some not. I don't know why, what the reason is, but some people have a hard time with it, and most people just live through it and go on. It's like a bad cold for some people. We have some in our family going through it right now. Some have just been through it. Fortunately, no one's passed away, but I guess when your time's up, no matter what happens, right? Thank you all.